Hello and welcome to the premiere episode of the AHL Report's newest podcast in the Rocket Sports Media family. This is From the Press Box, and I am your host, Amy Johnson, the lead correspondent at the AHL Report, and I'll be joined every Tuesday with my co-host, the editor-in-chief and founder of Rocket Sports Media, Mr. Rick Stevens.
Glad to be here and glad we are officially underway.
Absolutely. This is going to be for folks who are just listening to us for the first time, which technically everyone is, but we did put out a little bit of a preview pilot episode last week. And if you didn't have a chance to catch that, just to give you kind of an idea of what this is all about, Rick and I are going to come at you every Tuesday with the latest news about the Montreal Canadiens prospects as far as their performance in the AHL, the ECHL, in junior leagues in Europe, you know, wherever they may be playing hockey, as well as touching on general AHL news from around the league. We'll be taking a look at, news and things that are happening around the league and entertainment. And Rick, I think it's going to be a little bit of something for everyone because the American League is certainly also a very exciting place to cover hockey.
Absolutely. It's known as the development league for the NHL. There's all kinds of exciting prospects, but those teams are there to win as well. And so some well-played hockey, exciting hockey. We saw that last season as the Ice Caps made the playoffs for the first time in their short history in affiliation with the Montreal Canadiens. And I think that that team that's now transitioned to Laval is looking to at least replicate that and go a little bit further in the playoffs this season.
Absolutely. So while we're certainly going to have plenty of information for fans of the Montreal Canadiens, fret not for those of you who are hockey fans for other teams around the league. We are going to, as I said, have news from teams all around the league. We're not just solely focused on the Habs and their prospects. So it should be a lot of fun. And in addition, in our travels in covering the AHL, we come across a lot of really interesting voices and stories along the way, whether it's coaches or players or scouts and management and things of that nature, and even fans for that matter. So we're excited to bring their voices to you as well as we kick off this new outlet for original content here at Rocket Sports Media. And so with that being said, Rick, let's kick things off with what I'm sure everyone is focusing on right now, which is training camps. All of the young prospects across the NHL are at their training camps right now. And the Canadians in particular are just launching into their training camp for the season and just finished their first exhibition game last night against the Boston Bruins. So what do you what's your take from last night's first look at some of the young guns out on the ice?
And I think that's important that it is a tune-up for the veterans, but the focus is on the younger players at training camps because those are the ones who are vying for those precious few, those empty spots. You know, many of the spots in the lineup are already secured, but there are a few that are open, and it is the young players who are competing for them. On Sunday, there was the inter-squad game for the Canadians. If you took Team A from that game, they were basically in action against the Boston Bruins last night in Quebec City at the Videotron Center. Mm-hmm. I think that it's fair to say that a lot of praise after the game for defenseman Brett Lernout. He is getting a little bit of attention in the last few days. People are waking up to who he is and what he can bring to the lineup, a real unique combination of size and skating ability and mobility, stiff shot. We've been hearing a lot about him.
We really have, and it's nice to see. It's something, you know, we've watched every game that Brett has played for the last couple of years, and he has always stood out, at least to our team, as a defenseman that was up and coming and had some really strong upside. In fact, I remember this time last year when we saw his first couple of games of the season last year, we commented to him that we noticed a marked improvement in his physicality and just in his placement on the ice and his puck handling and things of that nature. And he said that he had really worked hard last summer. So it's good to see that he put that work ethic in again this year and is already reaping the rewards of that, because he's really getting fans and a lot of media commentators to perk up and take notice.
Yeah, I think he made great strides over the course of the season, and just knowing when to step up and when to, be patient and let the play come to him. He figured that all out somehow during the season, and was a guy that was relied on in all situations. He got a call up in April to the Montreal Canadiens and played in Detroit, played 24 minutes in there, just shy of 24 minutes in that game. And Charlie Lindgren played in that game as well. I think it went into overtime, as I recall. It was a Saturday. And then we were in Utica for a Sunday afternoon game that was key to determining the Ice Caps getting into
playoff.
And you remember that both of them had were outstanding in that game.
Well, outstanding in that game, both Charlie Lindgren and Brett Laurent, especially given the fact that their flight was delayed. There was a travel issue, and they got in to Utica very close to game time, and they both fully focused on the game, just get dressed, get out on the ice, and both had a really standout performance to help propel the Ice Caps to the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah, they got just a detail, but they got in late because they flew after the overtime game. They flew out of Detroit back to Montreal with the team.
That's
and
right.
Then they piled in a car and drove from from Montreal to Utica.
And didn't seem to faze them one bit. The professionalism and the determination was certainly evident on that night, for sure.
So certainly, Lernout was a standout. Juleson, there was a focus on him as well. He played very well.
He did.
Claude Julien spoke about him after the game. Said he wasn't glowing in his praise. He said he had a decent game, but he liked his skating, his ability to move the puck, his transition in game, I guess, his mobility, his hockey sense, and he kind of stunned people, I think, by saying kind of similar things that he had said about Charles Houdon, and that is he will have an opportunity to make this team over the course of the training camp.
And that's really the big thing. Martin Lapointe always mentions this to the media. He said it again when we were at the rookie tournament, when I asked him about the competition level at this year's training camp, and it comes down to they want guys to put them in a position where they feel like they are making management and the coaches force their hand. And, you know, as you say, Julien has already mentioned many times that Charles Houdon will have plenty of opportunities to do just that. But it's nice to see that they're kind of looking at Noah Juleson that way as well, that he's going to get a really good look. In addition to Juleson, on as far as the blue liners go, I know a lot of talk has been happening, and it'll be interesting to see tomorrow. And I imagine that this pairing will come out, that Victor Mete has been paired with Shea Weber quite a bit during training camp. And it looks like they may be paired together in their first exhibition game tomorrow night. And I think all eyes will certainly be on that pairing as well.
Well, good for Victor Mete. And we saw him at the World Junior Showcase, and his strength is his just elite skating ability, tremendous speed, great mobility, very maneuverable, good positioning on defense. let's not overstate expectations as you see sometimes on Twitter.
That's right.
About his ability this season to play with Shea Weber, that would be a reach. He's likely to go back to London, and as a 19-year-old, but you know what? He hasn't looked terribly out of place.
No.
And he's moved the puck well. And let's see what he does in an exhibition game.
And being paired with Weber, he's going to learn a lot from being paired with Weber. And Weber has stated that you know he's not minding playing that mentorship role. So good for Victor in getting that opportunity. And of course tomorrow night, it's looking as far as practice went today, as far as line rushes and whatnot. It looks like as of right now, Hudon will be left wing on the second line with Thomas Plekanec at center. So again, that's a situation where all eyes are certainly going to be with the hype that has been surrounding Hudon as of late. There'll be some eyes there as well to see what he does. He had some assists on Sunday in the inter squad game, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs on an even bigger stage.
Well, the Canadians certainly are presenting him a golden opportunity. He in the red-white game he played with Thomas Plekanec and Arturi Lehkonen. Arturi Lehkonen was tremendous and
oh, yeah.
Have to be considered one of the Canadians' top wingers right now. But Arturi Lehkonen did a lot of the work in that retrieving pucks and creating scoring chances. Charles Hudon, made perfect passes to Thomas Plekanec, picking up three assists, and Plekanec was the person who filled the net. So Charles Hudon he can't complain for the opportunities getting. The Canadians have put him in an excellent position and certainly, a better opportunity than any of the other prospects are getting. So let's see that he can follow through again in the exhibition game.
Absolutely. And as far as the rest of those prospects go, I honestly think this is going to be one of the more exciting preseasons in recent years to watch the young guys compete for that kind of last one or two roster spots that are available on the fourth line. There's a whole bottleneck of talent that could make the roster. And it's going to be very interesting to watch these guys battle it out over the next couple of weeks, over these preseason games, to see who's really going to stand out. I've said this now for a week or two that, and this is certainly not any indication of whether he deserves it or not, but I unfortunately think that Michael McCarron's in a bad position as far as he would not be exposed to waivers if he is sent down to the Laval Rocket. And so I don't think that bodes well for him just in that manner. I think that the Canadians will see that as from more of a managerial standpoint. And so I don't know that McCarron starts with the Canadians this year, which would be unfortunate. He seems to have put in a lot of work, especially the last two seasons. It'll be interesting to see what they do with De La Rose. De La Rose, I feel has earned a spot before this season. So it's really going to be an interesting competition, I think.
You know, one of the strongest lines last night against Boston, labeled as the third line, but it was McCarron centering De La Rose and Jeremy Gregoire. And
they looked great.
They did. All kinds of chances. Gregoire got a goal. And the goal came as both De La Rose and Gregoire went to the net. McCarron with the the pass and redirected by Gregoire and De La Rose causing havoc in front. But, you know, McCarron has and I think he would take it hard. I think if he went back to AHL, he has put in a ton of work. He looks physically much different than he did all of that baby fat's gone in his face. He's
in a matter of months.
Lost weight, but he's converted to muscle. He's much quicker on the ice, and it's not so much his speed, but his just his first few steps. He's much more explosive, and last night he had the opportunity that he played on the penalty kill. He played power play as well. So I think Claude Julien is testing him out and seeing what he can do in those situations. And what makes me feel good is that McCarron is at center where he plays best. Whereas
that's right.
Therrien had him on the right wing a fair bit, which he looked out of place and looked a bit lost sometimes last season.
Absolutely. And it's no secret that Therrien wasn't fond of taking the long road in development of players. And I think that's plays a big role into De La Rose getting sent back down and cut at the last second two seasons ago, and also not making the roster last season. And it's as you say, it's refreshing to see that Claude Julien has a bit of a different mindset when it comes to his depth and his young players, and he's giving them every opportunity to learn and to prove what they can do. And that just goes even further into my thinking that this is going to be an exciting training camp. Should be interesting to see what happens in the coming week before we convene next week, as far as first round cuts and the few preseason games that we have coming up this week.
How about those penalties? The Vegas game against the Canucks and last night's game. I mean,
yeah, the refs apparently have been chomping at the bit to blow the whistle all summer because they haven't stopped yet.
Well, Gregoire in his interview after the game last night said that they had a sit down meeting prior to the game with the officials who said that they were going to crack down on face-off infractions and any stick to the glove for slashing calls. So the players know, but they and those are going to set the tone. But we saw a ton of penalties in that Vegas game and a ton again last night.
Well, and I certainly imagine there's plenty of coaches that have now only penciled in face-off for agendas at practice this week. If the last couple of nights of NHL exhibition games are any indication as to how the season's going to go.
Yeah, and we got to see those brand new Adidas jerseys as well.
I'm not a fan at all.
Flotation device on the collar,
That's right. I don't like them, and oh my goodness, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the Adidas backup goalie base hat, or if the whole team has to wear them, but I noticed last night on a couple of games, the white Adidas hat that the backup goalies were wearing on the benches are just hideous.
With a big black square kind of face, and then the logo on top of that, it was odd looking, really odd looking.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully it gets better. So we'll keep an eye out. Of course, we'll be watching all of the Habs prospects as things develop over the course of this week. But let's actually switch gears a little bit and just take a look at a couple of highlights from around the NHL from the last week or so. And the first item that I actually thought was interesting is a bit of where are they now in terms of the Montreal Canadiens. Fans, I'm sure, will recall the name Christian Thomas, really bright young player who last season ended up with the Hershey Bears and had a tremendous season last year. It was actually his best season in the AHL. He had a career high in goals at 24 goals on the year. He had a career high in assists at 25 and a career high in points at 49. All over the course of 65 games with the Hershey Bears, and he finds himself with a new contract this year for a divisional rival with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And I say good for Christian Thomas because the kid's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, he does. And you know what? He looked happy last season when we ran into him a couple of times.
Yeah, he did.
He was kind of holding court in the hallway of the dressing room as former teammates went and coaches went and interacted with him. He's a very likable guy. He just seemed to be having a whole lot more fun playing hockey. And some off ice things when he was affiliated with Montreal, but he seems to have found his way and certainly on the ice, and he had a great season last season.
Yeah, I expect that he'll do wonders in Wilkes-Barre as well. I think he'll fit in really nicely there.
I'm going to call an audible and do another Where Are They Now? Because I saw a stat line that I thought was kind of fun. You remember he was actually a guy that we had a hard time figuring out how he ended up staying in the lineup. And that was Anthony Kamara, who played over 20 games with the Ice Caps last season. And we kept thinking, how is he staying in the lineup over other guys, other players?
Yeah, I wasn't ever really terribly impressed.
Yeah, no, he had played in the AHL for 3 or 4 years, Providence and Charlotte. And then the season prior to joining the Ice Caps, he was a ECHL player, but played part-time in the ECHL last year and then with the Ice Caps. But he is playing in Denmark this year.
Really?
He is. For the now, I want to get the pronunciation of this right because Lars Eller is listening. But it's the UNSA, and UNSA, you'll know.
Of course.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do because it's the third largest city in Denmark, and it's the birthplace of Hans Christian Andersen.
Wow!
How about that tie-in?
That, folks, is your Rick Stevens trivia tip of the day.
It is. Okay, but he's played one game so far with the UNSA Dogs.
Okay.
Right. 2 assists. That's not
what?
Bad. Yeah, he got 2 assists in his only appearance so far with the UNSA Dogs. -1. And 29 minutes in penalties.
Are we sure this isn't a clone? Because I'm going to have to go back and look.
You know?
I was going to say, I'm going to have to look back to see if did he take a penalty at all? I'm sure he did. Maybe it was for, I don't know, hooking or something, but not 29 minutes worth in a game for sure.
One game, 29 minutes. But he managed to stay in the game long enough on the ice to get 2 assists as well.
Well, good for him. It maybe it's that Denmark air is doing him wonders. So we do like to see former players in the Montreal Canadiens organization doing well elsewhere. And I applaud the audible there on the Where Are They Now? And that's a feature that we'll actually come back to quite often, most likely here on From the Press Box, because there's actually a lot of players, even from the Ice Caps team from last year, who landed on other teams around the league and around the world this year. So in the coming weeks, we can we'll tap in and kind of take a look at how some of those guys are doing. But we know that fans don't necessarily end their affiliations with some of their favorite players just because they don't play on their given team anymore. So we'll keep an eye out for all of those guys. If there's one thing that you can count on every hockey season, it's that goaltending is going to be a problem in Philadelphia for the Flyers. I have the authority to say that as a Flyers fan who lives outside of Philadelphia. So this isn't me ragging on Flyers fans or the Flyers team, because I am a Flyers fan. And it's just a known fact that Philly has goaltending problems. And now apparently their AHL team is feeling a bit of that as well. Anthony Stolarz, who had an excellent season last year and actually saw some time up in the show with the Flyers, was all set for another great season with his backup, Alex Lyon, and looks like he's going to miss now most of the 2017-18 season because he has re-injured the meniscus in his left knee and underwent surgery. And backup Alex Lyon is now probably the starting goaltender for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And it's going to be a little interesting here in, at the PPL Center in Allentown.
Well, that's tough. And I like Stolarz, the big goalie, and I liked his play for the London Knights back in the OHL and saw some Memorial Cup action. A very good prospect. Don't know what he's doing in the Flyers organization, being such a good goalie prospect. It puts a dent in his progression, his development.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Flyers are going to be, the club is going to be this year with Elliot Neuwirth. Neuwirth is a terrific interview.
If there's one thing Flyers goaltenders can do between Gallup and Michael Neuwirth is they can give entertaining interviews.
Absolutely. But we saw Carter Hart at the World Junior Showcase and didn't fare so well in those games. Not that he didn't have the talent to do better, but yeah, he didn't look particularly good.
No, I wasn't particularly impressed. And the interesting thing is, so the Flyers now signed Leland Irving as a backup to Lyon. But that signing actually came before Stolarz's injury. Now that the injury took place, the surgery's happened, and he's looking at a 4 to 6 month recovery period. They've signed Mark Dukanich, who was the goaltender for the Reading Royals, their ECHL team, who actually the Brampton Beast faced in the first round of the Memorial Cup playoffs last year.
He was good against Brampton.
He was very good against Brampton. So Lyon and Dukanich, that could be an interesting tandem. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not those guys can really step up to that starting goaltender position. So 'twill be interesting for sure, as it always is in the net when it comes to the Flyers and their teams. and last but not least, as far as just interesting league news, many of you will recall from last year the name of Craig Cunningham. He played for the Tucson Roadrunners, and on November of last year, November 2016, he collapsed on the ice, had a cardiac incident, it was quite scary, and ended up couldn't breathe on his own for a couple of days. He needed to be hooked up to a blood circulation machine for a couple of days. And if you have followed the story since then, he was able to recover, but because of the circulation issues, part of his left leg ended up needing to be amputated, thus ending his professional hockey career. There's some good news to as that story continues to unfold. However, is not leaving the world of hockey. The Arizona Coyotes have signed him to a 2-year contract as a pro scout for the Coyotes and also to assist with player development. So good for Craig Cunningham. I think that's a wonderful way for the organization to really support him and have his back during a really tough time in his life.
Tough, just a tough story. And I remember back to the AHL All-Star game and, each of the All-Stars had a Cunningham jersey on for the warm-ups, I guess it was, they all lined up for a photo, and it was just you realize at a young age that just from a freak kind of situation that his career was over and his life impacted. So it's,
yeah, he's 26.
It's really. Yeah, no, it's great to see that he's good for the Coyotes, good for him, and glad that he will be giving back and continuing in hockey.
We like happy hockey stories. And so we will be sure to keep you, all of you listeners, up to date on interesting things like that that are happening around the AHL that you might not hear out there on Twitter all that often. And we'll be the ones hunting down those stories and bringing them to you every week. Another thing, however, that we will continue to do all this season as we continue our extensive coverage live at games with reporting and videos and photography and so forth. One of the things that we get every year is USA Hockey's All-American Prospect Game, and that is coming up this week. It's taking place in Buffalo again. It returns to Buffalo after being hosted by the Flyers at the Wells Fargo Center last year. The Sabres are hosting it again this year at KeyBank Center, and it's on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. This is basically 42 American-born hockey players who are eligible for 2018 NHL draft, and this is the time for scouts and managers to get a good look at these guys and kind of have a showcase to see what they can do with some celebrity coaches at the helm. We've Chris Chelios is back again this year, and Brian Leetch is the other head coach, and it should be very interesting, Rick. We will be live in Buffalo to bring it to all of our followers and readers.
Absolutely. Brian Leetch, a defenseman, I guess primarily with the New York Rangers, Chris Chelios with the Canadiens, and at the World Junior Showcase, Chris Chelios was announced as one of the assistant coaches for the 2018 U.S. Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
And a good batch of coaches. I think the notable names on the roster, Brady Tkachuk, brother
Absolutely.
Matthew, and Quinn Hughes, who we both players we saw at the World Junior Showcase, and
mm-hmm.
I'm expecting to see them at the World Juniors playing for the U.S. squad.
Absolutely. Most of the guys who are on the roster, of course, are part of the USHL, the U.S. Hockey Development Program. There are one or two in there from the OHL or the WHL, but it's always a really great event that USA Hockey puts on, and it's great to see these young athletes who are trying to make a name for themselves in preparation for next summer. When the NHL draft happens, and this will be a great time for them to do it. I did happen to notice in looking at the roster, not only is there a set of brothers who are on the roster, Christian and Cole Krieger, they are twin brothers. Cole, the difference is that Cole is an inch taller at 6'2" and 5 pounds heavier, but they are both defensemen. They both shoot left, and they're from Michigan. And their father was former NHLer Todd Krieger, and so it's kind of just a little bit of a fun fact there that it'll be kind of fun. And they look, I believe they're identical twins because they look very, very much alike. So it'll be interesting to watch them.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah, it's funny though because this little. A game is probably undercovered, and it's just the time of year because with NHL training camps going on, but it's a very important game,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a first look at some of the 2018 draft eligible players from the U.S. side. And you know, last year we had a nice chat with Trevor Timmons, and you're gonna find. And he was very nice to us and complimentary of what we do. And you know, you're going to have all the scouts there. And this kind of kicks off the scouting for the year, that will, culminate in, well, as it is now in Dallas, in June, for the 2018 NHL entry draft.
That's right. So be sure to follow along with us. Game time is 7 o'clock on Thursday night. We'll be, of course, live tweeting the event while we're there at the rink, in the arena, providing original photographs and, of course, media interviews after the game. I do believe, I'd have to double check on it, but I do believe that USA Hockey is providing a free live stream of the game on their website. So fans may be able to tune in that way. However, there is no television coverage. So it looks like online is the only way to view that game. But we will be sure to bring you all of the events as they happen on Thursday. And then when we see you back here next week for next week's show, we'll likely have some audio from post-game interviews and whatnot with some of those young players. So one segment that we are to kick off this premiere episode with that we're going to bring you every week is just a little bit of fun. Sometimes it's going to be hockey related. Sometimes it's not going to be hockey related, but this week it is. We're going to bring you our top five. And this week, every week, our top five is going to be different. We want to hear from you on your top five as well. So whatever our top five topic is for the week, go ahead and tweet us or send us a post on Facebook letting you know what your top five on this topic would have been. And for us this week, since we are talking about rookies and training camps and prospects, this week we're going with the top five prospects that we have seen live this summer, both at the World Junior Summer Showcase and at the rookie tournament in Toronto, where the Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens, and the Ottawa Senators had their rookies on display. So this would be the top five that Rick and then top five that I thought were the most standout of that grouping that we got to see and evaluate live. So was this a tough list for you?
Well, it was, I just kind of skimmed through the memo, so I didn't really, I ended
oh,
up with
really?
Six. Yeah.
I got, ended so up I with got an, six.
I got an honorable mention, and
okay.
I'm going to break the rules the first week and just toss out an honorable mention.
Really?
And then
okay.
We'll get into the top five.
Okay. All right. We'll allow it. It's the first week, so we'll allow it.
Top five coming, but honorable mention goes to goaltender Michael McNiven, who, was after a tremendous season in the OHL, best goaltender in the AHL, one of the best players in the OHL, in the CHL last season. There's a lot of expectations of him coming into camp into the rookie tournament. And he looked great. He played a game and a half, looked calm, poised, confident. He moved the puck well. We talked to him. We liked his attitude, his ability to acknowledge what happened after a goal was scored him and just immediately move on. Not the kind of emotionally intense kind of goaltender that when you look at the Canadians, there's Zach Fucali, who's on one end of the spectrum. There's Carey Price on the other end of the spectrum, as far as how they react mentally to goaltending. And I think you're seeing Charlie Lindgren would certainly be in that Price camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael McNiven is there as well. A very, very calm, very poised, very confident young man.
All right. Well, I would agree with that honorable mention. So definitely a good choice there. But that leaves us with the top five. So who was your number five pick of the summer as far as prospects?
Joni Ikonen. Joni Ikonen was, we saw him at the World Junior Showcase in Plymouth and drafted in June by the Canadians. Not a big player at all at 5'11", but very highly skilled. We've talked about him before. He loves to play. He loves to practice. He
mm-hmm.
loves the game of hockey.
He does.
In fact, he said, if you don't love the game, you're in the wrong sport, right?
He did. That's exactly what he said.
His creativity, his his vision, his skating. He's got good speed, but what I really liked is his ability to change speeds quickly and effectively. He's a very unpredictable player and not shy to go to the tough areas. He cuts into the middle, not afraid of contact at all. Great hands, quick shot, quick release. I was very impressed with Ekinen.
I agree. He definitely stood out, and I just liked how, like you say, he just always had fun. We mentioned that he was even smiling in practice to him, and he said, I just have fun. my number five was someone else that we did see at the World Junior Summer Showcase, and that would be Ryan Poehling. I thought Ryan Poehling definitely made a mark for himself at the Summer Showcase, playing for USA Hockey. He was a presence on the ice. He skated well. He has high hockey IQ. He knows where the puck's going to be. He knows where he needs to position himself. And I just really liked his play. Also just very impressed with his character off the ice as well. We probably interviewed Ryan, goodness, maybe three times at least, over the course of those few days. And every time he very much impressed me with his work ethic. He was very well spoken, very down to earth, very humble, and just wants to go out there and earn everything that's given to him. And I think he has a very, very bright future ahead of him. So he came in at my number five pick.
Nice. Nicely done. At number four, are we going to number four yet?
We're just going first
for number four.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. So who's your number four?
Quinn Hughes. We just mentioned we're going to be seeing Quinn Hughes at the All-American Prospects this week. Saw him at, again, the World Junior Showcase, playing for the Americans. First time that I got a chance to see him in person. And not a big defenseman by any means, 5'9", but oh my goodness, what a smooth skater, carries the puck well, good pass, doesn't have a great shot, but high hockey IQ. He's going to be at the University of Michigan this season. Very impressed and just a fun guy, a very fun guy.
Absolutely. In fact, I made a side comment to him at some point as we were walking. He was walking with us down to the media area, and I mentioned to him, please don't lose the sense of humor, because he every scrum that he was in, he had the media in stitches, because he's just dry and deadpan and just drops these bombs of jokes that are just hilarious. So really a delightful young man. And I think there was a fair bit of cheating going on and some peeking at my list, because I also had Quinn Hughes as my number four. So
great minds think alike sometimes.
Well, yeah, okay. I think this is good. This is probably going to be a list that we have a little bit of crossover, because on some things it'll be interesting to see how the top three pan out. So who do you have at number three?
At number three, you probably haven't heard of him. His name's Ryan Poehling. Well, you mentioned that number five.
Oh, that guy.
I agree with everything you said about him, about his hockey IQ, his presence, his skating. You know, when the Canadians picked him in the first round, there was a lot of griping that he wasn't necessarily, by some people, that he wasn't a first round pick, and lots of complaints about his skating. And it was the coach that said there shouldn't be an issue there. But I just liked his. As he came up the ice with the puck, he owned the center of the ice. His poise again. He carried the puck and just owned the middle of the ice. Very strong on the puck, and he's not a highly skilled guy like Ekinen or great hands, but he battles and he wins his battles. He wins his battles on the forecheck. He wins his battles in front of the net. His body positioning in front of the net was, he on the power play, he goes to the front of the net and he likes being there. He's got a good wrist shot. And the other side of it is he's excellent in his coverage of the defensive zone.
That's true.
Yeah, he's a very well-rounded, complete player, even at very young age, and is back to St. Cloud to further develop this season.
Well, that's the thing, folks have to keep in mind with Ryan Poehling. Last year at St. Cloud, Ryan was the youngest player in NCAA. He was 17. At the time, and put up enormous numbers last year as for being such a young player. There's a lot of growing that he's going to do in the next couple of years, very quickly. And if he's doing what he's doing on the ice now, I am very anxious to see, how this young man develops and the kind of game he's going to have. So you had Poehling at
number three.
I had Poehling at number five. You had Joni Ekinen at five. I have Joni Ekinen at number three. Is there an echo in here? I agree with you on everything on Joni Ekinen. His hat trick at the World Junior Summer Showcase just keeps replaying in my mind. He was the catalyst that helped his team make a comeback in that game, a big comeback. And he was absolutely just tremendous, just smooth as silk, just right to the net, wicked shot. And I like that we both kind of think of Poehling and Ekinen as two of the big standouts in that tournament, because they really were. It was hard to differentiate where they should be on my list, but really, really excited to see what Ekinen does going forward. So that means we're up to number two, and we've both copied each other's picks at some point in the first three. So we're clean slate now for the number two pick. Who you got?
Brady Tkachuk.
Oh.
Do you have Brady Tkachuk, or
I'm not gonna tell you yet.
All right. Brady Tkachuk, another player we saw in Plymouth. We're gonna see this week in Buffalo, the All American prospects. Gonna be a top 10 pick next June
in
the draft. He will be compared to Matthew.
Yes, he will.
He has lived in the shadow of Matthew, just as Matthew lived in the shadow of Keith Tkachuk, his dad.
Mm-hmm. And didn't particularly like it either.
No. Matthew didn't like it at all. When we interviewed him in Lake Placid, he wanted to be his own player.
And I can understand that.
And it was funny because in Plymouth, Keith and Chantel, the whole family, and Matthew was there. They all sat in front of us, and we talked to them a fair bit about that.
Yeah, we did.
And what do you know about the Tkachuks? All of them, they're going to play physical, and so there's going to be that temptation to say, "Oh, here's another physical Tkachuk."
Mm-hmm.
But there's differences, I think. Matt is, when we saw him, even in the All-American Prospects game, when we saw him in Lake Placid, Matt's a bowling ball.
Matt just blazes his own path up the ice.
bull in a china shop, crashing, you know, crashing and banging.
And Brady, does it well. That's not to take anything away from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. I'm not. Yeah, no.
Right.
Good point. I'm not taking anything away from him. I would just say that Brady, there's a nuance to it. He's a bit more targeted in his aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and I'd say he plays a more feisty game. He's gritty, and he's got an edge to him.
He does.
You wouldn't know it. He's the nicest kid off the ice and baby face and all that. But he's a little bit of a mean streak to him, but tons
but
of skill
finesse
too. Oh, yeah, he's I would say that he's a bit better skater than Matthew, although it's kind of in that average range. Skating isn't their
forte.
That isn't their strength. It's the presence. But he's got that high hockey IQ. He's got great vision, great hand-eye coordination for tipping and knocking in pucks. I liked what I saw, and he's at Boston University this season. But I'm looking forward to seeing more of him this week at All-American Prospects.
For sure. Brady actually would have been, if I had – you were able to limit yourself to one honorable mention. I had a laundry list of honorable mentions. Kachuk would have been one of them, as well as Casey Mittelstadt and Kyler Yamamoto. Those would be my honorable mentions that didn't quite make the top five, but who all really stood out to me. But no, my number two pick goes to Mr. Will Bitten, as he is not afraid to tell the media every time he does an interview, is compared quite often to Brendan Gallagher.
He likes that comparison.
He mentions it every time we talk to him, and good for him, because when you mention Brendan Gallagher, an immediate picture comes to your mind of the kind of player that Will Bitten is trying to be, and in many times is. He does the things that Gallagher does very well. He is all over the ice. Wherever the puck is, you will find Will Bitten there. He does not quit. Even if his team is down by an enormous amount of goals, he's out there working his butt off like it's tied 3-3 in overtime. He's just got tremendous work ethic. He's got a lot of skill, and I think he's going to be something special in the next couple of years.
Don't tell Brendan Gallagher, but Will Bitten is a much better skater. Much better
skater.
Yes,
he is.
Than
oh, my
Gallagher.
Goodness, can that boy skate?
He's got speed, and we saw that at the rookie tournament against Toronto when he blew up the wing and turned the, really his third period goal, in my opinion, turned that game. I thought it was great, and as you said in the blowout game, Ottawa winning 8-2, no quit. His work ethic is second to none. You know, every shift you're going to get the same out of Will Bitten, and at the World Junior Showcase, we saw him. You know, he can be an offensive player, but there was an abundance of offensive players, so he was willing to accept a different role, and he was the first guy over the boards for the penalty kill, and and he was out there protecting a lead at the end of the game. I like his willingness to adapt and different roles and excel when doing so.
Absolutely. I think Habs fans are really going to take to him very, very quickly when he gets on a bigger stage and really gets to show folks what he can do. So that brings us to our number one pick in this top five. Who do you think prospect hands down that you saw this summer in evaluations?
Well, hands down, he's just an exciting player to watch. Rasmus Dahlin.
I'm going to say right now that that's my number one pick as well. So.
Yeah, well, well, good.
For good reason, I think.
Absolutely. We saw one game. It was and the only time we've seen him in person. And he's just he was just brilliant in that game. And it's not, to be honest, I don't even know what his stats were in that game, but his elite skating ability, his mobility, his ability to move the puck, his vision, his puck handling, he plays physically. He's just got everything. He's just a very, very exciting player to watch, a generational talent. He really is. And it's not a surprise that he's on, you know, all of the early lists as the number one, as the potential number one pick for next June's draft.
I was just going to mention that this guy, you talk to scouts and you look at early rankings for the 2018 entry draft, and Rasmus Dahlin is at or near the top of every single one of those lists, and there is a reason why. Yes, we could have said it was easy to pick him on the ice because he was the only player wearing a full cage because he was recovering from an injury and needed to protect his face. But even if he was just wearing a visor, he was easy to spot every time he took the ice because he just plays hockey at a different level. And it's quite obvious. It's funny. You talk to him off the ice and you realize that he's still a very young, shy, 18-year-old. But you would never know that from watching him on the ice because he looks like that he looks like he's been playing professionally for years. He does everything he's supposed to do and then some, and creates plays, and which just, I was thrilled to get to watch him this summer. I think he's, whoever snags him next year is going to have a gem.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, he's, I think he's 6'1", 165 at this point, or, you know.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, he's very thin.
He's not that growing.
No. There's lots of room to fill out his frame and just very unassuming. You know, I asked to see him after the game and interview him. And it was funny. I don't know what happened to our media friends, but I was standing there alone with him. Nobody else seemed interested in, and he just very, very shy and very timid and very polite and not very confident in his English, but it was fine. And just a really nice guy. And then you see him on the ice and he's likely if all goes well this season, he's likely to be one of the, either the top or the top two picks in the draft. And it wasn't even close.
No.
Of all the, yeah, I don't know what you putting together on your list, that this was the first slot that I filled in.
Yeah, I filled that in, and then it was a battle to figure out where the rest of them were going to fall. It wasn't close. Interestingly enough, Rasmus Dahlin is playing. He's back in Sweden. He's playing in the SHL for the Frölunda Indians, which actually happens to be where former St. John's Ice Caps captain Max Friberg has landed this season as well. They actually just started their regular season this week, so he's only played one official regular season game. But in the preseason exhibition games, he was making headlines left and right. So it seems that his season is already going well in Sweden, and that will be one to watch for sure. In fact, one of their Joel Lundqvist of that Lundqvist family. Is quoted as saying earlier this year, "I have never played with a better prospect." So there you have it.
Well, I believe that, because he was different than all the other players on the ice, that we saw in Plymouth. No
Absolutely.
Question.
So that is our top five. We would like to hear your top five. So, you know, send us a tweet, leave us a message on Facebook, anything like that. Just make us a list, top five, one to five, who you think of all the prospects that you've heard about or read about or even watched in games over the course of the summer and this early preseason. Who did you think really stood out? Who are you most excited about? Who are you most impressed with? It could be all Montreal Canadiens. It could be all another team, or it can be from any teams. Whatever you just think are your top prospects right now, we want to hear from you, and we'll share those around on social media. Always be sure to follow our social media accounts. Hit us up on Twitter at the AHL Report. You can also follow along with our NHL coverage with the Montreal Canadiens at All Habs. And you can find me separately at Flyers Rule. Please, for all of you Habs fans, please don't just ignore the Flyers in the handle there. It's all good. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram with lots of original photographs. And, of course, you know where to find us online at AHL.report, where you'll get game recaps, player profiles, of course, this podcast, as well as many others. And it's going to be an exciting season ahead for Rocket Sports Media.
Are we done already?
Flew by. It flew by, but don't worry. The great thing is we get to do this again in a week. So start making notes now.
Different top five. Okay.
A different top five to be announced.
I promise to read them. Yeah, I'll promise to read them. Oh, there won't be any honorable mentions.
There's allowed to be honorable mentions, because sometimes there's things that, you know, you just can't pick five, you know, so that's okay. That's okay.
Two honorable mentions.
You can have, I had three, so making it up as we go along. We appreciate all of you out there listening. Rick, thanks for joining me. As my co-host for this season, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We really appreciate everyone listening. Like I said, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned all season long. We'll be here every Tuesday bringing you all of the latest, and lots more to come right here on Rocket Sports Radio at From the Press Box.